Hello all, thanks for coming to my talk. My name is Andy Wingo, and this talk is about compiling to WebAssembly, WebAssembly as a target architecture for compilers. In this talk, we're going to have a little hands-on intro to WebAssembly, and we're going to proceed to write a tiny scheme compiler. We're going to talk about the bits that we can't get to in the live coding part. And then we're going to mention the different kinds of questions that you will need to answer if you're considering targeting WebAssembly from your language. And if you'd like to follow along, there is a GitHub repository with all the supporting information that you might need. So, to be concrete, let's take the simple scheme program, the recursive factorial, and we would like to look to try to compile this to WebAssembly. Now, when I work on a compiler, I like to think about what kind of code I would like the source term to residualize to. So in this case, I need to think about what should the WebAssembly look like that's the result of compiling the recursive factorial. And happily, WebAssembly is defined in such a way that it has a standardized text format that corresponds exactly to the binary, whereas the binary is WASM, though the text format is called WAT. It's implemented using S expressions, which is kind of nice. And it's a bunch of sections in the file. We don't need to actually touch on all of these for this example. We're just going to look at types, functions, and export sections. So, if we switch over to the editor here, start my module. First, I got to think about the types, right? So, what's the type of factorial? Tfac. We give it a name. These things with the dollar signs in front of them is just a name for the purposes of the text format. It's not actually used. It's not reified in the binary. It's just a nicety. So, the factorial function takes one parameter. It's a number. Well, WebAssembly only has four different data types, as I32, I64, F32, F64, and that's it. So we have to figure out how to express our program using this paltry set of primitives. In this case, we're going to have one parameter, which is an I32, and one result, which is an I32. You can have as many results as you like, as many parameters as you like. Web browsers commonly put some restrictions on these, like you can only have up to, I don't know, 1,000 parameters or 100,000 parameters or something. But in practice, it's not really a limitation. Okay, so when I go to write the function for factorial, again, I give it a name. It has type tfac, meaning it has one parameter and one result. The incoming parameter will be mapped to local variable number 0. If I had more locals, I could declare them here, like I32, I32. That would mean a total of three locals, including the parameter. But in this case, we don't actually need a local variable. So if I look at the source program, I need to start by doing this if. And WebAssembly is a strange machine. It doesn't have goto. Although it has a nested if-then-else, it's not very useful. The general control flow primitive has is blocks and conditional breaks. So a block is essentially a region of code which is also a jump target. You can jump to a block. There are essentially two kinds of blocks, not counting the if-then-else. There's a block and a loop, and if you jump to a block, you end up jumping to the end of the block. And if you jump to a loop, and this is a loop that has to be sort of in scope to the jump, then you jump to the beginning of the loop, and that's all you have. So in this case of my if, I'm going to make one block, call it B1, and then blocks have a type. They have a number of incoming values on the stack, and then they have a number of outgoing values on the stack. So in this case, I'm going to have this block to have no incoming values, because there are no incoming values at the start of the program, at the start of the function, and I'll just let its one value flow out to be the return value of the function. And I could give a name to that type TB1. A block type is essentially a function type, so it has no parameters and it has one result, And so type DB1. There are some shorthands for block types which only have one or zero return values. I'll just write them out in full here. It doesn't really matter. So now I'm in block TB1. This is going to be one arm of the if, and I need another block to be the other arm of the if. So inside these two statements, but in this case, I'm not going to actually flow out a value. We'll see why in a minute. This will be TB2 with no parameters and results. Okay. I think you're getting the feeling that WebAssembly is a little bit of a weird machine. Look back again at the factorial program. I say if n is 0, so first I have to get n, because it's a stack machine. And I do that by doing local.get 0, because the parameter n is the first parameter, thus index 0. And there is an instruction called i32.xz, which pops the top of the stack and pushes a 1 if the top of the stack was 0 and pushes a 0 otherwise. And then I use brif, so if the which pops the top of the stack, and if it's non-zero, it will jump to the target, in this case, b2. So if the top of the stack is non-zero, jump to b2. What does it mean to jump to b2? It means to jump to the end of block b2. That's how blocks work. If you jump to them, control flow continues at the end. So here, after b2, let's imagine I'm doing the then branch of the if, which is 1. So i32.const 1. That's how you make a constant WebAssembly. And then this value will simply flow out of the block. It'll flow out of block b1. It will flow out, in fact, to be the return value of the function. So we've implemented the then side of the if. Now we have to implement the else side. So let's see, times n, so first let's evaluate n, local.0, that's n, and then minus n1, okay, so local.get0, again, i32.const1, i32.sub. You see this is like the old calculators, it was reverse Polish notation. So i32.sub will pop two things from the stack and push the deepest one minus the shallow one. So now we have our two values on the stack, and we are going to call fac. And as you see, as a compile target, WebAssembly doesn't have unstructured goto. It also doesn't have unstructured stack access. There's no stack pointer that's accessible to you. There's no link register, program counter, any of that. You can't even, alias the stack to anything and walk the stack. This is what you have. Once we call the factorial, we're going to need to multiply. So this one stays on stack over the call. So i32.mul, which will multiply the two. And here, recall that the type of this block has no results. So I just need to, I could branch, I could actually br2, so not to 0, not to block 0 in depth, and not to block 1 in depth, but actually to block 2 in depth, because the function makes an implicit block. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to say return, which effectively does the same. It will branch to the outermost block. That's my function. I simply need to export it to to the whoever loads WebAssembly, because WebAssembly is something that you embed. Right, so we have our program here. I hope it type checks. Let's move over to our terminal. And we can do wat to wasm. This is a utility from the Wabbit project, W-A-B-T. Wat to wasm, fac.wat. You know what? So the problem is that they used the spirit of S expressions, but they didn't actually use reality. So some